hombres.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Igual. Igual. Okay. Men, you disappointed me. You should have done much. Ladies, actually, you were better. Give yourselves a hand. So, I just got finished explaining. Your pride ends where somebody else's feelings come in. I can be proud, like Prabhupada used to say, you should be proud that you are a child of Krishna. Right? Children should be proud of their parents, that I have such good father and mother. Right? That's all right. So, our God Krishna is the most powerful, most famous, most wealthy, most beautiful. So, I am his child. I may be insignificant, but I am his child. Therefore, I have such a great father. I can be proud of that. But not that it hurts somebody else or puts somebody else down. So, the night of the Rasa dance, the full moon, Krishna played his flute. When the gopis heard that note, if they were cooking, stop cooking, run. If they were taking care of babies, bye baby, run. If they were getting dressed, they put the bottom part on the top and the top part on the bottom and ran. If they were serving their husbands, nope, run. Whatever they were doing, they heard that sound, it's immediate. I'll give a bad example, but just to show you. You may be doing something, but when the call of nature comes, you gotta go. Am I right? It's either that or it's a big mess. So the same way, the sound of Krishna's flute is the ultimate force of nature. It's so powerful that it immediately attracts you. That's why Krishna's name is Krishna, because he's all attractive. So the gopis ran, and when they got there, tricky Krishna as he is, said to the gopis, what are you doing here? Why have you come? As if he didn't know. That's Krishna. He likes to play. So the gopi said, we heard your flute. We know what that means. We want to dance with you. Krishna said, well, you saw the beautiful forest, the moonlight, the Yamuna. Okay, you came, now you can go home. Gopi said, no, not so fast. We have left everybody. Husbands, brothers, sons, family members. Now we are here. And we know very well, Krishna, that when somebody surrenders to you, you're supposed to give them shelter. We have surrendered, now give us shelter. The gopis defeated Krishna in his own philosophy. Krishna was defeated. So he began the Rasa dance. The Rasa dance was going on. For every two gopis, there was one Krishna. But despite the fact that there was two gopis for one Krishna, each gopi was experiencing that Krishna's only dancing with her. That is Krishna. The dance is going on. They're smelling Krishna's arm. Krishna's arm has a very beautiful scent. Krishna is chewing betel. And sometimes in the Rasa dance, he's kissing the gopis and exchanging the betel into their mouth. They're dancing, as we say, cheek to cheek. That Rasa dance is going on nicely. The gopis all are thinking, oh, we are the most fortunate people to be dancing with Krishna. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't feel like that? I would. I would feel I'm the most fortunate person. So, Krishna noticed that the gopis were becoming proud. Krishna used this incident to teach us a lesson. Krishna does not want his devotees to become too proud. Krishna then disappeared. There were thousands and thousands of gopis, right? One Krishna for every two gopis, immediately gone. The gopis then realized, oh, we lost Krishna. We lost him. Meanwhile, Krishna had gone alone with Radharani. He had gone deeper into the forest. Actually, what happened was Radharani said, I'm not getting any special attention. So, men, the nature of women, okay? Radharani was thinking, wait, there's all these gopis here? I want to be special. Radharani slipped away, and Krishna, he followed. Now, the gopis realized their mistake. And they went through the forest searching for Krishna. Their mood changed. They were crying out. They were humble, calling out to Krishna, asking everything and everyone, have you seen Krishna? Krishna, come back, please. Different mood. Radharani is taking Krishna. They're going into the forest. And Krishna picks flowers for Radharani. And Krishna makes a crown for Radharani, giving her special treatment as a good husband should. Right, ladies? Husband should give special treat to wife. Yes? All ladies who agree? Raise your hand, trust me. So, at one point, Radharani says, Krishna, you know what? I'm too tired. I can't walk anymore. If you want me to walk, you'll have to carry me. Krishna now sees, even Radharani is getting proud. I must teach her a lesson too. Krishna says, okay, just get on my shoulder. Radharani is about to get, and Krishna disappears. Now comes my point. Pay attention. When the gopis noticed that Krishna went away with this other gopi, they said, ha, this gopi must have worshipped Krishna better than us. Therefore, her name, Radha. Everyone say, Radha. Radha means the one who worships Krishna better than anyone else. That's where she gets her name. From that episode. Now, pay attention. Pay attention. Radharani, when Krishna leaves, now is also lamenting. The same way the gopis are. When Radharani left with Krishna, the other gopis were a little jealous. But when they saw Radharani had now achieved the same plight as them, they gave up their jealousy and accepted her in their midst. So, their little jealousy of her went away. They all assembled on the bank of what river? Yamuna. And they did satsang. They did kirtan. They did a song called the Gopi Gita. They each took turns calling out to Krishna, please, we surrender ourselves. We give ourselves to you. Krishna at this time was invisible, watching the whole thing. When he saw that the gopis, even though he left them, still remained faithful, still were wanting him to come, when Krishna saw that even though he left, they were still there, Krishna returned. And then again began the rasa dance, which according to Srimad Bhagavatam is still going on. Because that rasa dance goes on for a night of Brahma. Now this took place only 5,000 years ago. A night of Brahma is millions of years. That's why I'm saying it's still going on. But the point was, in the beginning they were a little jealous of Radharani, but when they met her, they gave up their jealousy and received her back. You see the point? So you can be proud, but not at someone else's expense. And it should not be pride that deters you from advancing. Prabhupada used to say, a devotee never thinks, this is the limit of what I can do. No. A devotee is always thinking, I can do more. For instance, in 1972, Prabhupada told the devotees, for the month of December, just go out every day and sell as many books as you can. So the devotees did that. So after the end, when the new year started, they went to Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, we distributed so many thousands of pieces of literature. So we were thinking, Prabhupada is going to bless us. What did Prabhupada say? Very good. Now double it. What? We just spent a whole month, every day, hours and hours. But Prabhupada said, no. Go out and double it. Meaning, you don't rest on your laurels. You did something for Krishna, very good. Now, do something more. Do something more. There is no limit to what you can do for Krishna. Husbands, there is no limit to what you can do for your beautiful wife. Wives, there is no limit to what you can do for your wonderful husbands. All right, next question. No more questions? Sanam?
Prabhuji, did Krishna play the flute after he left Vrindavan?
Did Krishna play the flute after he left Vrindavan? In my readings, I don't read that he played the flute. Do you know something I don't know? Okay. But sometimes she knows something I don't know. So sometimes I'm thinking this is a trick question. So as far as I know, no. The flute is part of the Krishna that never leaves Vrindavan. Not the Dwarka Krishna and Mathura Krishna. Next question. More questions. Yes, sir.
What happened with all the son of Krishna, with all his wife?
Okay. Yes, yes. I will tell you. It's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, in first canto, and in the 11th canto. It's called Maushala Leela. So, I will now transport you 5,000 years ago. Ready? You're there. After the battle of Kurukshetra, pretty much the demons were done. When Krishna came to earth, he came because Mother Earth, Bhumi, was crying. She went to Lord Brahma in the form of a cow with tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm overburdened because Kamsa and all the demons have built up a big military industrial complex. I am overburdened. Brahma took her and the other demigods. They went to Shweta Dweep on the shore. And that's when the message came. Have you, all you demigods, expand yourself take birth in the Yadu dynasty, I am coming. I am coming in my original form. And in this form, all the avatars will be in my body. This is Purna Bhagavan, complete Bhagavan, the original Adi Bhagavan. His name is Krishna. Hello. Woo. His name is Krishna. All right. I'll let that one go. So the reason why he came was to get rid of the demons. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was 125 years old. But what did he look like? 16, 20. Yes, he had children, grandchildren. So even though all the demons were taken care of, this is what Krishna was thinking. I cannot leave and leave my family behind. My family is like me, unconquerable, proud. If I leave and they stay, that will be another burden on the earth. They will cause havoc. Krishna says, they must be taken care of, then I can return. So Krishna does things his way. So there was the incident when Krishna's son, Samba, was dressed up to look like Sakshi, pregnant. And Samba and some of the other boys, they found some rishis, some sages, and they were making joke. Oh, sadhu, sadhu, you see this girl, what is she going to give birth to? They got very agitated. Don't play games with sadhus. Bad, bad decision. With sadhus, be respectful, be humble. Don't play, don't joke. So the sages got angry and said, yes, she will give birth to that which will destroy your whole dynasty. The boys were just trying to have fun. So they looked underneath Samba's sari and they found a big club. They went to the king. They didn't go to Krishna. They went to King Ugrasena. And King Ugrasena didn't want to disturb Krishna. King Ugrasena said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I'll take you boys go. I'll take care of it. King Ugrasena ordered his men, grind this big club, iron club, grind it down. If there's no club, it can't destroy. So they did that. And they had heaps and heaps of iron filings. You know what is iron filings? When you, it becomes like dust. Iron dust, iron filings. So they had a huge pile. They took all of that and threw it into the ocean. They left one little bit. They said, that's enough. They took that and threw that into the ocean. That little bit that was remaining, a fish swallowed. The iron filings stayed by the shore and grew into what is called reeds or canes. Okay. Meanwhile, news spreads that the rishis have cursed the Yadu dynasty. So everybody's talking. You know how it is, right? Really? You don't say. So everybody in Dwaraka knew. Krishna knew. Of course Krishna knows. So Krishna called everybody We have to do something to counteract this curse. Krishna says we should go to this holy place, Pravas Kshetra. We should worship the demigods, Krishna said. We should feed the Brahmins. And we should do our best to counteract this curse. Everybody went with Krishna. But because they are Kshatriyas in certain sacrifices, there's a kind of liquor. So this liquor was made from rice wine. And they all drank, and they drank too much. Now, when somebody drinks too much, things can become very volatile. So first, it began joking. You big buffoon! Now you're joking, because it's family members. So then you're going to say to me, you idiot! So, it started out first like joking. But then, little by little, it started to get personal. One is a joke, but you can say things to hurt somebody because you know something about somebody, and now it can become a personal. You understand? So, it got more and more heated. And then they started to fight because they're drunk. They started to fight. And not only did they fight, they started to really hurt each other because they're Kshatriyas. So now they're riled up. So now they're hurting each other. Now they're killing each other. And they even attack Krishna and Balaram. So see how bad it is to drink liquor. Very, very bad. Look what happened. Those canes, as soon as they grabbed those canes turned into iron rods. And they started killing each other with the iron rods. Krishna and Balaram also got the rods and were killing their family because it became all out war. They were all killed. Every last one of them killed. When it was all over, Balaram produced from his mouth a white snake. He got on the snake, went back to Godhead. Krishna sits underneath a tree. What happened to the lump that was swallowed by the fish? A hunter named Jara captured that fish. When he cut the fish open, he saw, nice iron. He made an arrow. He's hunting in the forest. He sees in the distance what he thinks is a deer, but it's actually Krishna's reddish feet. He shoots his arrows. It hits Krishna's foot. Does Krishna go, owie? No. Does Krishna die? No. The hunter, Jara, thinks he has shot a deer. When he goes, this hunter knew who was Krishna. And he loved Krishna. So when he saw that he had shot the arrow into Krishna, oh, Krishna, please, my Lord, I didn't know it was you, my Lord. Krishna said, no problem. Krishna said, okay, you can go back to my abode. He gets to go back to the abode of Krishna shooting an arrow. Just like that. Then, after some time, Krishna decides it's time to go. So, that very body of Krishna starts to ascend up, up. He's traveling through the whole universe. Previously, he had told Lord Brahma, on my way, I'll stop and pay you a visit. Just like before I came here, I stopped off to see my friend in Panama. So before Krishna goes back, he visits Lord Brahma in his abode, and Krishna returns home back to Godhead. One grandson of Krishna remained. His name was Vadra, and he does something important later on. Vadra. It has something to do with Maharaj Parikshit. Vadra. Huh?
Vadra.
So, that's what I know. Bueno? More questions. Naresh, what is your question? Divya, any more questions? Question? Anybody? Yes.
I want to find out, like the butchers who work in the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
Do they get liberation?
If they remain butchers, no. They go to hell. After going to hell, they will take one birth in the material world, aquatic, insect. Eventually, after so many births, they'll come back as a human being. How can butchers get delivered? Butchers can get delivered. They have to do two things. Stop butchering and chant Hare Krishna. Here's why I say. The story of Narada and the hunter. When Narada made the hunter his disciple, he didn't have to answer the 14 questions. That's a joke between me and San Mohini. Narada said, yes, I will deliver you. I will make, because Narada said, why are you half killing the animals? That's what this hunter was doing. Mrgrari. He wasn't killing. He was half killing so that they suffer more. Narada said, why are you doing this? He said, that's the way my father trained me. His father trained them. Narada said, better just to kill them. You are making them suffer more. You are going to suffer more. You're also going to be tortured like that. So Narada showed him, by his mystic power, all the animals he killed and how they are going to revenge his death after death in hell. They're all going to come and kill him. One after another. One after another. One endless movie. Mrgrari freaked out. What? Yeah. The hunter becomes the hunted. So, Narada said, I can deliver you. First, break your bow. If he breaks his bow, he can't be a hunter, can he? Right? That's how he kills, with his bow and arrow. So Narada said, I will deliver you. I will make you my disciple. First, break your bow. Mrgrari said, well, how am I going to eat? Narada said, I will take care of that. First, you break your bow. Therefore, if the butcher wants to be delivered, no more butcher. He has to stop. Then he can chant Hare Krishna and be delivered. Not that I'm still a butcher and I chant while I'm butchering. No. Then your mala gets all bloody. Can't have a bloody mala. Okay? Breaking the bow means, at the time of initiation, you vow no more illicit sex, no more intoxication, no more meat eating, no more gambling. That's what it means to break the bow. No more sinful life. Pure life. Now chant Hare Krishna, you are liberated. Everybody chant.
Amen. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Alguna más pregunta? You had enough? All right, you had enough. All right, what do we do now? Chant? Okay. We chant. Very good. Can I sing?
Yes.
All right. Will the band play? Where is Ananda?